Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
What's up? What's up? Welcome in. Winning cures everything. College football for Army-Navy week. And the Heisman week. And we got coaching stuff going on. So we're just going to wrap it up into one nice, big, fat podcast. And you can listen to all of it. Of course, the videos will be split. So, if you are watching the beginning of this, which will be our Army-Navy preview, make sure you click over to the other videos if you're watching on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube, of course. If you're watching there, hit subscribe, hit the like button, leave us some comments, tell us what you think about the game this weekend, tell us what you think about what's going on in the coaching world, tell us what you like about the Heisman Trophy, all that wonderful stuff. I see Chris here is repping Mr. Joe Burrow. That's with an X at the end, of course. But it'd be awesome if they put that on the trophy.
No, they're not doing that. They're not doing that.
I know. It's too professional. Too professional. Either way.
Class organization, the NCAA.
Go to winningcureseverything.com. You will find all of our stuff over there. Our picks, previews, podcasts, videos, social media platforms. Look, our gambling picks for the last 4 years are up over there. And our football pick'em contest, which is still going strong all the way through the NFL season. Tunica has sent us some more stuff to give away. So we're going to give it away. We're going to find all kind of ways to get you guys to win contests. So, make sure you go into the football picks contest over there. It's right up in the navigation bar. Check it out. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe, hit like, leave us some comments. Tell us what you think about the show. Share the show out. Tell your buddies about it. All that wonderful stuff. If you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate you guys as well. Seriously, we really do. Leave a review. Leave a 5-star review. It's really easy to do on your phone now. Very simple stuff, especially over at Apple Podcasts. That Apple algorithm helps us out a ton. Whenever you subscribe and leave a 5-star review. So, we would appreciate if you'd knock that out. We got a couple of sponsors we got to knock out really quick. Smack Apparel. They got great stuff. Go to smackapparel.com. They got awesome t-shirts for all your favorite pro and college teams. I'm telling you, you are going to appreciate this stuff. They got anti-rivalry shirts, all that kind of stuff. If you're an LSU fan, you hate Alabama, they got stuff for you. Or if you just want something with your college logo on it that's a really cool design, they got that stuff too. Go to smackapparel.com, use promo code WIN, that is W-I-N. You'll get a 20% discount off of your order, regardless of how big it is. Regardless of, and so if it's over $40, by the way, it's going to ship for free. So go check that bad boy out, smackapparel.com, use promo code WIN for a 20% discount on that. And finally, every week for the last 2 years, the show has been brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, and we cannot tell you how much we appreciate them. And we love what they're doing down there. They've always got good stuff going on. Tunica, Mississippi is the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got 6 incredible sports books, along with a ton of really good steakhouses, some cool golf courses for when it warms up a little bit. They got concerts and comedians and all sorts of shows that are coming through all the time. You can find more information on all that over at tunicatravel.com. Let's go ahead and jump into this thing. Army-Navy is this weekend, And man, two football seasons could not have gone any different than what we expected when the season started. I thought Army was going to be 11-2 this year. Now,
they started off great.
Yeah, they certainly did.
You going to get that?
I'm going to get my pen.
You're going to leave it there.
No, because I need to write my stuff. I need to write my times down. Yeah, they have got... I expected Army to go really good. I expected Navy to have a losing season again. Neither of those things happened.
Nope.
Navy is sitting at 10-2.
Yes, sir.
Army is what, 5-6 What are they, 6-6 right now?
Nope.
Five and seven?
Well, they're 5-6.
No, because they play 13 games, I thought.
Then they're 6-6. No, they don't have 6 wins. I know that I was frustrated with the way we do the bowl things, and we always leave the Army-Navy game out, because what happens if Army wins this game? And then they get to 6 wins.
And they don't get to a bowl game, right? But I think that's the thing. I think that they I'm going to double-check that, because I didn't write it down for whatever reason, and which makes no sense. Like, I typically write all this kind of stuff in our notes. Army is sitting at 5-7. That's what it is. So
yeah.
If they were 5-6, though, that would be an issue.
Well, they'll never be 5-6 because they'll always...
I don't think they always play 13 games. They played Hawaii this year. And you get like an exemption to play more games if you do that. But if they were sitting at 5-6 in this position...
But if they get to 6 wins, if they win this game Saturday, you don't think they're A, more deserving, and B, the actual bowl people would rather have Army than some of these bad bowl teams?
You would think so.
I kind of think I know so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. I
mean, do you not agree? I don't want this to be one of those things where you agree just to move the conversation.
No, I just don't know how well Army travels. Like, I don't think that they...
I don't. You're right on that. But I'm going to assure you that a lot of these other bad schools...
probably don't travel either.
They don't travel either. And...
and you'd rather have one of the service academies.
You're going to get people that will show up for the service academies.
Yeah.
You've got local people in every town in America, and every one of these places where these bowls are set, there's an Army National Guard in that town, and there is going to be like local Army people within a 2 to 3 hour drive that are going to come to this game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your service academy fans aren't going to travel to, you know, Florida or Memphis or New Orleans or whatever, but there are local people there that will. Navy, case in point, is playing in the Liberty Bowl.
There will be people there.
We have a Navy base in Millington, just outside of Memphis. Navy's going to have a lot of fans.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A lot of fans.
I agree.
I absolutely think people will show up.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So if Army gets to 6 wins, somebody got some explaining to do.
That's a good point.
I mean, nobody feels bad they left Toledo out because we got 87 bowl teams.
Yeah.
Nobody feels bad for Toledo. We could care less.
But would, like, you have rather had Army instead of Eastern Michigan?
I was about to say, we could find one of these other mediocre schools that barely made a bowl team, and I'd rather have Army over them.
Yeah. It's a weird schedule.
I think your advertisers would rather have Army over them.
Yeah.
And I think the bowl committee people would rather have Army over them.
This has been a weird schedule for several years now. I do like that they moved Army-Navy to its own weekend, but I hate this situation because, I mean, say Navy had beaten Memphis earlier in the year, and they were going to the Conference USA title game, right, or not, whatever, American Athletic Conference. Say they win the conference,
yeah,
and then you've still got this week. Can they take them as the...
do we give them the New Year's Six Bowl, or, you know...
or does this game just not matter? Like, you see my point? Like, does this just not matter for anything? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense the way it falls in the schedule. Let's talk about some of the stuff going on here. We talked about how drastically different these seasons went for these two teams.
Yes.
Navy sitting at 10-2. Not something I expected. Their quarterback, Malcolm Perry, is awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely awesome. And obviously, both teams like to run. Time of possession... stats, Army is number 11 on the season at 33 minutes and 22 seconds. Navy is 12 with 33 minutes and 20 seconds. Yards per play, which is a pretty good indicator of how well you are moving the football, et cetera. Army is number 65 in the country, 5.8 yards per play. Navy, 6.88. Now, I'm just going to toss something out there for you, okay?
Okay.
Passing yards per attempt. Obviously, neither one of these teams passes a lot, but Navy has actually done okay throwing the football this year. Army is number 16 in the country at passing yards per attempt. That's 8.68. Man, Navy is number 2 in the country. 12.11. Okay. That's fine. So,
I do something 3 times a year, and if I do it pretty good, then yeah.
Pass completion percentage, though.
The highest quarterback completion rate right now in the NFL is Julian Edelman, because he's thrown like 3 passes in his life, and they're all touchdowns.
Yes. Agreed. This is why I wanted to make that stark contrast, because it's number 2 in the country in passing yards per attempt against number 16. Well, then Navy pass completion percentage? Navy 50.99%. That's good for 123rd in the country. Army 46.70%. That is dead last in the FBS, number 130. So, Navy has been able to pass the football a little more than Army. They have attempted more passes.
Okay.
And they're able to move the football that way. They're able to catch people off guard. It's kind of surprising. I'm wondering if they'll be able to do that against Army. Like, it's such a fascinating matchup because they run the same thing.
That's right.
Both of these guys...
They mirror one another.
Both of these guys come off of the Paul Johnson tree.
Correct.
The line is crazy.
10.5, I thought, was a lot.
Yeah.
I know that Navy...
And it keeps going up.
And I know the record shows Navy should beat them badly, but before the season started, we did not think that.
No.
We thought Army would be favored in this game, and it would be a considerable favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was double digits, but I thought considerable.
No, we thought a touchdown, maybe more.
Yeah. I guess it could have been Army minus 10. I mean, it's just insane that it's moved
This much. Yeah. At 10.5 is pretty nuts. I will say this, like, because obviously we're going to give out picks on these. I'm going to take Army to cover this game.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Like, this will be low scoring. I mean, the under in this game has, which, what's the total on this?
I was just pulling that up. Hang on, give me a second.
The under.
40.5.
40.5. I'm going under.
What has it been lately? Because for some reason, I feel like every year we go under, and every year it goes up. Yeah,
it hits under at an 80% clip.
Okay. All
right. So it's
maybe I'm wrong on that.
There's
I do know that spots. We always talk about go under, and I feel like I always find a way to lose money on this
game. In all of the Service Academy games, like, it is better to go under, because it literally hits at like a 78-80% clip.
Well, they just eat clock. They have so many less. Alabama had 80 snaps against Auburn. There won't be 80 snaps combined in this football game.
The under that
it'll be a very efficiently played game.
So they will appreciate
the Military Academy. They are efficient.
Yes, 100%. We'll be in and out this thing
3 hours.
Yeah, at less than that. Commercial time.
College football will not allow that. It will not be less.
You got a valid point. There's going to be a big audience for this
60-minute halftime show.
The only Service Academy game that doesn't go under regularly is Air Force and Navy.
Okay.
And that one this year, I mean, it was 35-20.
I thought that was pretty high scoring.
Yeah, it was well in the 50s. So. Yeah, this one, however, I mean, every year it is 17-10. It is 21-14.
We're expecting 21-17. Bad weather, right? We're expecting. We know it's going to be cold. I don't know if it's going to be bad weather, but we know it's going to be cold.
We know it's going to be cold,
and maybe get a little precipitation. It's going to be played on grass, which means it's going to get muddy. Slow it down.
Is this one in Philadelphia?
Yes, this is in Philly.
That is in Philly every year.
No.
Because it's Lincoln Financial. It might be every year.
Man, I don't think so, though. I'm almost positive it's not every year.
Because sometimes I thought it was at West Point. Sometimes I thought you would feel like we'd be a little more prepared for this.
We only have one game to talk about.
Yeah, no.
But we're getting into talking about things that we weren't really planning on talking about.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's see. Philadelphia weather for Saturday. Oh, yes, sir. So, high of 56, low of 41, 80% chance of rain.
Attaboy.
That is what I'm going
sounds like
under.
Sounds like the Philadelphia I know.
That's going under the 40 and a half.
It was played at the Link last year. I guess maybe it is played in Philly every year.
And
that's
disappointing. I'm going to take Army plus 10 and a half.
I'd like to see this played at one of these home stadiums.
And I will take Navy to win the game straight up.
But I guess they want a bigger crowd.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. So, Army plus 10 and a half, I'm going to take Navy straight up. Are you doing the same thing?
Yeah, I think I can't pull the trigger on the upset. I want to, though.
Army has won this game, what, 3 years in a row?
3 years in a row. At least 2 years in a row, I know that. I always like, we talk about this. These are the best uniforms in all of sports.
Yes.
The special uniforms they get for this game. I really like the Army uniforms a lot better.
And this typically it's Navy.
I don't know. I've liked the Army ones in the past too, but I really like the Army ones a lot better this year.
Yeah. Yeah, Army has won 3 straight.
Okay. So. I knew they won the last 2.
Yeah, this is
3 years back. I don't remember that far.
That makes
You're
sense.
You're asking a lot then.
21-17 last year. Yep. Here we go.
I just had that pulled up.
So 21-17 3 years ago, 14-13 2 years ago, 17-10 last year.
Yeah, there you go. Touchdown game last year.
Yeah. It you have to go a long ways back before you get to any game that that broke 40, and that would be 2013 when Navy won 34-7.
What was that 21-17 game?
21-17.
That busted the over, though.
That's 38.
Yeah, but I don't know that the over-under was 40.
It might not have been. It may have gone over there. But
I know that I've lost money on that under before.
Yeah, probably so.
Now, it could have been 10 years ago. I don't.
Who knows?
Once you get past 2 years, I told you, it could be 3 years. It could have been a decade. It's all the same up here.
It is. It's strange. Army's defense is not great this season.
What happened?
Well, I mean, they
lost. Just their Super Bowl was against Michigan. And they lost that game because they played the perfect football game against Michigan. Yeah. And then they didn't not play perfect. They didn't play good the rest of the year.
I think it has more to do with losing Jay Bateman last year.
Okay.
I think he deserves a lot more credit for that defense than we gave him credit for.
Probably. That makes sense. I can see that.
And they lost him and they've just not been the same team. Which is crazy. Like the offense has not changed much at all.
Well, no, their offensive
and they were returning. Yeah, they were returning basically everybody, and that's why we were all so gung ho about this schedule's easy. They'll be able to da 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 da. But you lose a very integral part of your team and your scheme with that coach. Like I think Bateman meant a lot more to Army than we gave him credit for. So we're both Army plus 10.5, but we are taking Navy to win the game. Right?
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me.
Let's move on. Let's talk Heisman Trophy.
That's free money.
There's not a lot to discuss here. Nope. We got 4 finalists, 2 from Ohio State. You got the Jalen Hurts, comeback story. And then you've got the winner, which will be Joe Burrow from LSU. There is no question that Joe Burrow is going to win the Heisman Trophy this Saturday. The only question will be, how much will he win by? I don't think he gets the all-time most points.
No, and the reason being is because
there's not as many voters as there used to be.
And we let former Heisman Trophy players win this vote in this thing. And
Oklahoma's got like 8 or 9 of them.
Those guys are all, they always do it too. They fall in line. If you're a Big 12 winner in the past, you're going to vote for the Big 12 guy. And if you're a Big 10 winner in the past, you're going to vote for the Big 10 guys, except for the Michigan guys. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the list. I mean, they're going to fall rank in order. That's going to be it. And some of them may even leave Joe off of their list just as an FU. Tim Tebow, the year that it was Tebow, Bradford, Cole.
Yeah.
Tebow got left off of everybody's list from the Big 10 and the Big 12, and still came in second in that voting. They put Graham Harrell from Texas Tech in as the third person and left him completely off. If he was voted third by everybody, and they said these are the three, and you can only vote for these three, he would have won by the largest margin that anybody could win by. That would have been
instead his, he got second,
and that would have been his second.
Yeah,
and they left him off. I find that to be criminal. I find that to be absolutely wrong. This is something. If this award matters at all, you can't do stuff like that. You just shouldn't be allowed. And this is not an LSU homer thing. I said it when it happened to Tebow. I wasn't a Tebow guy. I'm not a Florida guy, but it happens. And those are the two conferences that seem to fall in line more than anyone else.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And you're just wrong. If you want to vote for your guy, that's fine. And if you think that he deserves a nod, that's fine. You can't pick somebody who's not in the conversation and just put him in there because you want to leave this other guy off to maybe hurt him and hurt his votes. So I'm with you. He won't get the most points because there's going to be a large portion of the Big Ten and the Big 12, which both of those conferences have the most former winners as well.
The one thing I think could be in question here would be the most points as a percentage of possible points. Because I don't know that anybody leaves Joe Burrow off.
We disagree.
How about this? I don't think there will be a lot.
We're going to disagree. They're all going to be former players. There won't be any writers to do it. I don't think any writers are that big of homers because they have to maintain some sense of credibility. But if you're a former player and you're a winner, you don't give a crap.
Well, but remember, care. Joe Burrow is from Ohio. I mean, he played at Ohio State.
Does not matter.
I mean, we'll see.
They're going to vote for both the Ohio State guys in 1-2, and then they're going to vote for Jalen third.
Troy Smith from Ohio State back in 2006 got 2,540 points from 924 voters. The percentage that year was 91.63% of the possible points. Yep. That is a lot.
That's a lot.
Marcus Mariota in 2014 got 90.92.
That's right.
Baker Mayfield got 86%. Ricky Williams from Texas in 1998 got 85.23. And then Charlie Ward in 1993 got 83.79.
Tebow and Cam Newton. Absolute unanimous Heisman Trophy winners. Nobody would argue the difference.
Well, Cam...
Not close.
I'm not going to toss Cam on there because of the integrity and all that kind of mess. There were people that left him off for that reason. I'm not getting into it. I think he was absolutely the best quarterback, the best player.
Okay, so give me the Tebow reason then.
The Tebow reason, I have no idea.
Because he plays in the SEC, and I'm going to assure you that he was going up against two Big 12 guys, and the Big Ten was like, screw the SEC, we're not voting for them, we're voting for the Big 12 guys as well. Those two conferences line up. It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
Yeah, after Charlie Ward, the sixth one was Cam Newton at 81.55%. But after that, O.J. Simpson, Jameis Winston, Kyler Murray, Desmond Howard, Tony Dorsett, Ron Dayne, and then you go all the way down, and Johnny Manziel in 2012 got 72.88. That's kind of crazy.
It happens all the time. Whenever there's a big time SEC guy,
it is kind
of
funny.
Sick of the SEC bias that's out there that they perceive to be out there, and they just stick together.
It's nuts.
I mean, it's kind of insane. But they just have no standards whatsoever. It's I'm voting for my guy from my school, and I don't really care what's happening. And yeah. It's not even a thing where I'm not voting for him. I'm not putting him on my ballot. I'm going to leave him off. That's the problem you're going to get.
Yeah.
Is he's going to be left off every former player that played in the Big Ten except for those Michigan guys.
In 2017, there were 929 voters. So I guess in 2018, last year, 929 voters as well. I am curious. I am curious to see if people are going to be leaving him off because it makes no sense.
Because when you've had some transcendent seasons by a few guys, and it's as clear as it could possibly be. And it's still
not
big numbers.
Has it ever been this clear? I mean, I think... I'm sure
been
some years.
I think that Cam year, and I think the first Tebow year was about as clear as it gets. Tebow did win it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much more clear.
Well, I mean, but that first year that Tebow got it, I mean, that was an 8-4 football team. You know? Like, hold 9-3, whatever it was. So they were 9-3. So I could see people, you know, leaving him off like, yeah, if he's so good, why did they lose three times?
The problem is I don't think a lot of writers left Cam off. You can talk about people had integrity issues. Come on, man.
I'm with you.
Those are former players that left him off.
Well, there were writers and former like Heisman Trust people, et cetera, that did say after that they left him off because of the stuff that happened at Florida and the stuff that was going on with the scandal with him that season and whatnot. I mean, it was, you know, that was a whole mess. Like, he was obviously the best player in the country that year. And that award is for the best player in the country. But, I mean, I can understand if somebody had problems with it.
But I'm not pouting. Joe's going to win.
Yeah.
He's going to win.
Burrow is going to win this.
Because too many writers have a voice, and that's where you get people that actually have integrity and character about the vote.
Yeah. So and
if you don't like that I question their integrity or character of the vote, I would like them to explain how they voted in the past. And you can easily say, if you just want to vote for your guy, if you think that you know, Jalen is the better quarterback, that's fine. It's not possible to look at these four guys and leave Joe off the ballot.
Yeah,
how do you think we got four on the ballot to show up?
Well, I think that there is such a massive drop-off from 1 to 2, and there's not that big of a... So what they do is they take all... Because you can only vote for three people.
I know that.
They will take the biggest drop-off after a group of people, but the biggest drop-off is from 1 to 2. Yes. So you can't just have Joe show up by himself. There's no TV show there.
I get it.
So what they do is they will take, and that's why it's been only three here lately.
But how
I think it should be the top five regardless.
How did we get the four people? Because a lot of people left Joe off, which is how you got the other three.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm assure you that's how it happened.
I mean,
it's happened almost every time a big SEC guy has ran away with it. This is not a Burrow thing. It's not an LSU thing. This is a history shows us if an SEC guy has a chance to run away with this thing, they're just going to find a way to tarnish it as much as they can.
Okay.
I'd love to see him be wrong. I'd love to see them actually show him the love that I think he deserves.
What do you think
he's the only senior to be up here in a long time. A long time.
What do you think the final standings are for that top four? Like, obviously, we think Joe wins, or we know Joe wins.
I think it's Joe and Jalen because I think the Ohio State guys are splitting all the Big Ten votes.
All right, so Jalen second place, probably Chase
Fields.
You think Fields?
Yeah, Fields. It's a quarterback.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, especially the way that
I'm telling you, the only people that put Chase in are the Big Ten guys that left Joe off. I'm just telling you're going to see that when you look at the votes.
Okay.
You're going to see those two guys 1-2, and you're going to see Jalen third on a lot of ballots.
You know who was...
They're all going to come from the Big Ten.
You know who came in second that year that Troy Smith won? Darren McFadden.
Well, that was back when running backs had a chance to win it.
Well, yeah, except that Troy Smith had the largest percentage of points.
Yep.
And was one of the biggest runaway winners. The margin of victory that year, 1,662. Yep.
No, and I think Troy Smith was the clear winner. Like, I don't think...
I liked
Darren. I think Darren was an explosive player.
Yeah.
Darren wasn't the best player in football.
Yeah.
Troy Smith was the best player in football.
Yeah, you're probably right there. You're probably right. Smallest margin of victory was 28 points. That was Mark Ingram over Toby Gerhart. We won't have to worry about that this year. Bo Jackson over Chuck Long. Yeah. Bo Jackson... only knocked out Chuck Long from Iowa by 45 points. After that, I mean, some of these names you don't even recognize. It's been so long. Hey, you want to know something crazy? Chris Winkie from Florida State beat Josh Heupel from Oklahoma by 76 points.
Yep.
So yeah, lots of fun stuff. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a senior. It's been a very, very long while. That is just crazy to think about. So yeah, Heisman Trophy, of course, Saturday night after the Army Navy game. It'll be on ESPN. Fun stuff. Now let's close out the show with some coaching talk. Let's talk coaching, not necessarily rumors anymore. Like, a lot of these are done.
Okay.
But it's stuff that we haven't gotten a chance to hit on yet. Arkansas gets their guy.
Okay.
Probably like their 10th or 11th guy.
He might have been the second guy, considering the fact that they only have one guy on the initial list.
Yeah. Sam Pittman, Georgia offensive line coach, former Arkansas offensive line coach, fantastic recruiter, is an absolute character. Like, he is, Ed Orgeron was never like this. Pittman's a little goofy, but he can recruit with the best of them. Can he recruit to Arkansas? Like, I think that he will be able, he'll have some success in Dallas. Yeah, he'll have success, you know, Memphis, et cetera, et cetera. How many of those 4- and 5-star, you know, offensive linemen, skill players, which
the,
you brought
the
up
to me. The issue is yes, there's no question he's going to build an offensive line. I think he can recruit those guys. He's been going into those houses and talking to those mom and dads for a long time. Can he convince a quarterback? Can he convince running backs? Okay, if you're good at selling the O-line, you could probably sell the quarterback. You probably sell the running back. Are you going to sell receivers? Are you going to sell that DB that wants to come to your school? I mean, I don't know. He might be great. Arkansas fans are excited, and that's good for them. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve judgment.
Yes, sir. What? God. I hope he does it, man. I hope he keeps that going. It's fun. It's goofy, man. I love that stuff. It's you think it'll be a good hire? I think they're trying to mimic the Coach O thing.
But the problem is the Coach O thing did not work. It was a complete and utter failure. Yes, they're mimicking the Coach O thing at Ole Miss by taking a guy that only coached D-line his entire life. And then he was a hell of a recruiter at Southern Cal, okay?
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, well, he'll be a great recruiter at Oxford. Well, guess what? It's harder to get kids in Oxford than it is at Southern Cal. Who would have thought?
Yeah,
oh, this guy was really good at D-line coach. Yeah, it's amazing. He can't coach the rest of the team.
Now, and I think then, that they're seeing what he's doing at LSU.
Getting fired here, it took him a decade of learning to become the man that he is now. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you tell me, will he be Coach O? He absolutely has a chance to be Coach O at Ole Miss. Can he be Coach O at Arkansas? What Coach O is now at LSU? Man, I don't. I think we're
they better
apart.
Be willing. Or they better be willing to apart. Wait. Yeah. They better be patient.
But now, can he get them to relevancy? Can he get them to 6-6 and making bowl games?
They've got a clause in his contract.
That's what's
that
we got to figure out.
Every 6-win season that he has, the contract extends another year.
Yeah, and there that tells you if that's their standard of success, then I think he can do it. Now, I don't think they're getting to 6-6 next year.
No.
I don't think, because we talked about this
they
before.
They are changing the offense again.
Again, they went from a Petrino offense to a Brett Bielema offense, which is this guy's offense. And then this guy was let go or left with Brett or whatever because they forced Brett to change his offense midway through. And then they went to an all-power offense, again with Chad Morris. Complete failure.
Well, not power, but all.
Up-tempo. Spread. Up-tempo, yes. And then now they're going back to the original offense. Brett offense, which they forced Brett to change. I just think when you keep changing philosophies over and over again, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and figure out who the hell do you want to be.
Well, and on top of that,
if you don't like the guy you got, that's fine, but you got to hire somebody that has that same philosophy because you've already started recruiting that way.
Yes, that's the biggest thing is there's nobody left on this roster right now that will fit. I think what Pittman wants to do. There may be some that can change.
Oh man, I don't know. But if you're a great pass blocker, it is so much harder to be an athletic offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Lots of offensive linemen can pass block. Man, it is hard to find guys that are athletic enough to pull.
You
watch those Wisconsin kids, and
they love to hit.
Yeah, they're left. Yeah, they like to hit. They don't like to get back and pass block. No, no, no. They want to hit you, not with their hands either.
They got that right.
I just think it's not as easily said to say, okay, take that big left tackle over there, and now we're going to pull him. And that guy's not used to pulling and running.
Yeah, it's different.
But there are left tackles out there that are not just used to it, but really good at it.
Yeah, they love it.
They're dangerous out in space.
They absolutely love it.
So it's going to be hard. I'm not sold just because you're changing philosophies again. And are they going to be patient?
That's the question.
If he doesn't get to 6 wins after 3 years, let's say he gets a game better every year, and after 3 years they've won 5 games, is that we're keeping him, or are we firing him? And then we change the philosophies again?
That's where it gets tricky.
Because if you don't know how you're going to handle 3 years from now, if that's how it goes, if you're not prepared for that, then you didn't do this well. You didn't do this right. But now if you tell me in 3 years, if we've gotten 1 game better every year and we're recruiting and building talent and we think that 4th year we can make a jump, then, and you're okay with all of this, then I say you made a good hire. You stand by your guy. No matter how bad it gets, you stand by your guy. And you stand by that plan. But if you say that today, and 3 years from now, you got 5 wins on the schedule, somebody gets pissed off and wants him gone, you just wasted everything you've just done for the last 3 years.
He did get a 5-year contract. Right. It's only $3 million a year, though.
Yep, cheap.
From the people that I have talked to, his staff salary is going to be double what Lane Kiffin's is at Ole Miss.
Well, yeah, it's the LSU deal.
Yeah.
It's Ed Orgeron was really cheap, but we're going to pay a whole lot of money to assistants.
Yep. So we've got our front man.
Don't leave.
Yeah, we got our head hog. Now let's go get the brains behind the face. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not a bad way of building a staff, by the way.
No.
I'm not opposed to that at all.
No, it's a great way if you've got somebody that can be a good CEO.
I guess the way I need to see is him alone. I'm not so if he puts together some kind of all-star staff, which that staff's out there, by the way. You can go get those guys, especially if they're going to break open the wallet. Then, I'm not against it at all.
No, I'm with you. We brought up Lane Kiffin, of course. Now we already talked about this a little bit. Lane is at Ole Miss. He's good. Actually, pictures tonight of him and Hugh Freeze eating out in Oxford together. They got the same agent. Hugh Freeze ain't coming back to Ole Miss. It ain't no thing. But, interesting stuff from his opening press conference where he talked about analytics. Go ahead and tell this story.
Well, so he talked about in the press conference, he said, I mean, he openly came out and told the media, when I was interviewing for this job, I let my bosses know I'm going to be very analytical based on when to go for it, when to kick field goals, when to punt, and we're going to go for it a whole lot more than conventional football wisdom is used to it.
Yeah, we will not be conservative like we have been in the past.
And he said, they know that. He said, media, get ready to rip me because it's going to be different than what you're used to seeing. And so, therefore, when it doesn't work, you're going to want to blame me. And he says, fine. I'm ready for that. My bosses are ready for that.
Yeah.
We know we're marrying ourselves to this analytical thing. If we've got a 6% chance of making a field goal, but the conventional wisdom says, hey, you take the field goal here, we're just going to take our shot at another down, and we're going to try to go for it. We think our offense is good enough that if we get an extra down, an extra try, we can get more yards.
Yeah. Still no word on Kendall Briles.
I like this line of thinking, by the way.
Oh,
as much as I don't like analytics all the time for putting together gambling picks, I'm very analytics-based when it comes to how to run a team.
Yeah, when it comes to decisions
on the field. No.
Yeah.
When I say I'm anti-analytics, we're having two different conversations. I like analytics and gameplay.
Yes, 100%.
A lot.
No Kendall Briles yet, no defense coordinator. His staff is not together yet. But One thing that you know Lane Kiffin will do is he will put together a staff of recruiters, and they will be bloodthirsty hounds on the trail. Frank Wilson, who just left UTSA, who we assumed would go to LSU because he's the king of New Orleans, he was on the staff at Tennessee with Lane back in 2009. I mean, who knows what happens there? We might get into a little bit of a bidding war for that.
That's right.
You know, we'll see what he draws up. I think Kendall Briles will end up the OC there.
I do too. I think as far as DC, I do think he's going to have an operational budget that's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be comfortable
to hire whoever he needs to hire.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know who else to even look at. I would assume he'll bring some guys from FAU, maybe, but they better be ready to recruit because that's what he's going to do.
It's a different ball game.
I mean, he said the reason that he took the job is because he knows what can be done there because he was at Alabama, you know, two of the 3 years.
That's right.
Well, he was there for 3 years. In two of those years, they lost to Ole Miss.
That's right.
So, you know, he thinks he can win big there. I think he can turn it around.
I do too.
But I will say this. If for no other reason, I love this hire because it's going to end one of two ways. Either it's going to be scandal and all sorts of crazy mess going on, NCAA violations and whatnot, because you can bet the NCAA has already set up a shop in the square in Oxford because they didn't like Lane to begin with. They didn't care about him at FAU. But now that he is at Ole Miss with all this, like, you know they're going to be paying attention. The other side of it is Lane's a little crazy. Like, you know Greg Sankey is just like, what are these guys doing? Like, and Ole Miss said, we don't care.
That's right.
We're done with this.
That's
like, this is the perfect marriage of a program and a coach.
No. I'm very
he fits so well there.
I'm in full support of telling Greg Sankey and the NCAA to go shove it.
Yeah.
Just shove it right up your
ass. I love this. No. I think it will be entertaining.
We're going to run our program.
And we're going to try and win. And we're going to do whatever it takes to win.
We're going to do the same thing everybody else is doing to win, by the way.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I hope that it turns out like the good part of the Hugh Freeze years. Like, and without all the bad stuff, because I don't want to deal with that anymore, especially not close to here. I think football is better when Ole Miss is good, when everybody is good and not dealing with crap.
I agree.
So I don't like all the drama. I just want the good stuff, you know? Like, I want good games. I want all that. So we'll see what happens, though. Missouri hires Eli Drinkwitz. And they give him $4 million a year, and at this fool's press conference, he said, our goal is to win the Sun Belt every year. Do you see this? He said, oh, I'm sorry. This man was introduced about this time last year at App State.
For his first head coaching
job. For his first ever head coaching job.
He was the offensive coordinator at
NC State NC before State. That. He was
really good offense, by the way.
Offensive coordinator at Boise State before that.
That's right. So he's had some high-powered offenses.
Yeah, so he was under Brian Harsin, and then he goes with Dave Doran over to NC State, did really good job at NC State, gets the App State job, wins 12 games, goes 12-1, was just on the cusp of getting that New Year's Six Bowl, had they not lost to Georgia Southern. And
now he's going to take Missouri to the Sun Belt.
And now he's taking Missouri to the Sun Belt. So he did correct himself, but obviously you could tell it was the same speech that he used this time last year. It was a pretty good speech. It riled up everybody, and they all laughed about it. It was fun. I don't know what to make of this guy. He is Gus Malzahn. I mean, he was an assistant for Malzahn, I believe, at Tulsa. So, I mean, we'll see. Like, he came from the same coaching tree, like Arkansas high school football, all that. I was surprised Arkansas didn't hire him. We'll see if he turns into another Gus Malzahn. I think he can do good things there, but who knows?
It's so hard to recruit there, I think.
I mean, at $4 million?
So,
a $20 million guaranteed contract.
Just so we're all clear, Ed Orgeron just went 13-0. His base salary is $4 million. So this guy has 1 year of head coaching experience, and he's making the same amount of money as a guy that is going to play in a playoff game. The number one seed overall. In the best collection of talent that we've ever had in the playoffs.
A rising tide lifts all ships, man. That it's going right nowadays. It's insane. You're going to be hard-pressed to find an SEC program that pays less than $4 million for their coach, other than Arkansas right now. And so we'll see. I'm willing to bet that their coordinators will not be making $1 and $2 million each.
I would not.
Just a guess.
Offensive coordinator that much money.
Now let's talk about a former SEC coach. He is an analyst at Alabama. Butch Jones is up for the Colorado State job, along with Steve Adazio, who I don't think is going to get it. Kevin Wilson, former Indiana coach, former Ohio State offensive coordinator, etc. I'm a little surprised here. If for no other reason, then why in the world is Urban Meyer involved in the Colorado State coaching search? I understand he was a wide receivers coach at Colorado State from 1990 through 1995. Other than that, he's had really nothing to do with the program. So, but he is in the room, like for these interviews. He is helping lead the search for Colorado State's coaching job. I don't understand this at all. I think Butch would do fine there. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I thought Steve Adazio would have been a good fit here. But, I mean, I could be wrong. Well, I mean, what do you think about Butch getting another job?
If Butch got it, I don't know that it moves the needle at all. I mean, he might do fine. He might not. I don't know. I have an opinion about why Urban Meyer's in that room. I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that. I say enough crazy shit on this show.
Give me the toned down version of it.
There is no toned down version of it.
Okay, just give me the route, because I want to hear your thoughts on it.
But I don't. He's a whore. That guy will do anything for money.
Why is he
in that room? Why is he in that room?
Because they're, I guess
because they're paying him. And that guy will take money from anybody.
That's crazy to me.
That's why.
Like, that cannot be.
That is the truth.
The sole reason.
Why is it not? He's
what amount he's of money would it take?
He's an assistant or some type of advisor, not an assistant, to two other organizations.
Like, he's at the a same consultant time. To, yeah.
So technically, he's being consulting right now for three schools.
Utah, Ohio State, and now Colorado State.
That guy will take money from anybody. He will just take your money.
That's crazy.
What do you think he's advising Ohio State on right now? Do you think Larry Day gives a shit about what Urban Meyer thinks?
Ryan Day. I'm sure he's like...
I've got a buddy named Larry Day.
Ryan, like, he's a first-time head coach. I'm sure that he's still calling Urban, like, just...
I don't think he's calling Urban for anything.
You don't think so?
No. I think that team is playing loose and together, and they look so much more cohesive with Urban out of there. I don't think you're picking the phone up to call him for anything.
You might be right.
I might be wrong on that, but I'm going to tell you this. They looked loose and good before Urban came back from his suspension last year. I know they were playing nobody, but all this season they looked the exact same way.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I don't, and he might be helping them with game planning. He might be helping them with a lot of things, but it's not like Urban was like the offensive genius or the X's and O's guy. Like Ryan,
he used to be back in the day.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I don't think he's doing that anymore.
The Utah thing I can kind of understand because you know Kyle Whittingham was his defensive coordinator, and Whittingham's been there ever since he left Utah. I mean, Urban has gone and won national titles at Florida, took a year off, went and won national title at Ohio State. Now he is back out of coaching again.
We talk about Lane and his scandals. All right, what scandalous things has he done? Okay, he left Tennessee. After a year,
how about this?
He got fired on a tarmac. He didn't really do anything.
Well, the only scandalous thing would be good. Joey Freshwater, right? Like he went out and started hitting on some co-eds at Alabama.
All right,
and that's after he was getting divorced. Yeah. So
I don't know. I don't know what's scandalous about any of these things.
It's not scandalous.
If anybody's got scandal and stank on them, it's Urban Meyer. That guy is scandalous. That guy's a shyster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be real careful. If I was writing checks to Urban, I'd be terrified.
All right, let's move on from there. Interesting development, Tampa. South Florida has hired Jeff Scott, co-offensive coordinator from Clemson, and you knew it was just a matter of time before some of these guys were poached off that staff. And they talked about it last year, how big of a difference it was that Clemson... Yep. Just maintain. They were steady. Guys love to work there, etc. And people want that Dabo magic. Like they have seen, Dabo has won two national titles. We want some of that winning down here. And it's going to start happening more often. Now, Brent Venables may be a different kind of beast.
Yep.
He may be, he's making $2.2 million. He may not ever want to leave because he doesn't seem to be interested in a head coaching job.
There was a day and a time where it seemed like he was.
Yeah.
And I think that time might have passed.
No, because he could, if he put his name in the hat.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. Not that the jobs have passed. I think his desires have changed.
Yeah.
His ambition has changed. I could be wrong on that. I don't know the man.
No, at Clemson, he is the head coach of the defense.
That's right.
And
now they have, I mean, I refer to things all the time as the Dave Aranda effect. I mean, it was the Brett Venables effect before it was the Dave Aranda effect.
Brent Venables,
the head coach of one side of the football.
And the fun thing is you get to focus on that one thing, right? Yeah. So like last year they had those four defensive linemen that just wrecked everybody. And it wasn't just four. There's, you know, the backups.
Several, yeah.
And I mean, they lost four of them to the NFL and one of them was a backup. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So they had that and they could scheme with that. This year they don't have those same guys in the trenches. But they do have Isaiah Simmons at linebacker, and they almost play like a box and one. It's really strange the way that they play defense this year. But he was able to scheme up and draw up stuff for that because he only has to focus on one thing.
That's right.
Like, when you are a coordinator, you get to focus on one aspect of the game. When you are a head coach, you are a CEO. You have to handle everybody and everything. And he may not be interested in doing that. But Jeff Scott obviously was. And I think more guys on this staff will be eventually. It's not just Venables that's going out to recruit. It's not just Dabo. There are guys on that staff that go out and recruit. And they have done a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last 5-6 years.
Oh, they've built a monster.
Yes. And it will continue to be that way. But you'll see guys start to drop off now. And I don't know how much it changes things because obviously at Alabama, it didn't change much. But when you saw like that little chink in the armor, like then things start to happen. If you end up with injuries here and there, you end up with something that goes wrong. The expectation level at Clemson has changed.
We agree, and then I disagree with a little bit of it. I think you're not seeing anybody leave Clemson for a lateral job, and that happens at Alabama a lot. Dabo, as much as I'm not a Dabo fan at all, Dabo and Nick Saban could not be more different to work for.
I agree with that.
One is an absolute meat grinder, and yes, the other might be one of, seemingly, appearingly, to be one of the best guys in the country to work for.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
So
when you say different. When you say guys move for lateral jobs, it's not a lot.
And then you have guys that leave there, and they don't even respect him enough to tell him anything.
Now, that
they
was...
They just disappear. And you say that's all
happened...
That
was Dan Enos. That was one guy. Enos said not what happened.
It's just one guy that did that. It's just one guy that left for a lateral job as the OC. It's just two guys that left that were co-OCs, and as soon as they left, publicly we find out they don't like each other. And they were fighting and arguing over who was going to run the offense the whole time anyway. I don't think that's happening at Clemson.
I agree with you.
But I don't think that's happening at Clemson. These are the things when I talk about how I think things are going downhill for Bama. That doesn't mean you're going to be 4-8 in a decade.
No.
All right. I just don't think you're going to be – you're going to find ways to lose games because there's always going to be some type of – I just think it's too much of a meat grinder. I think the pressure is too high at all times, and it just – no one wants to work in that environment for a long period of time. The one guy you got, and you got him forever because nobody else wants him anymore, is Sark. Congratulations. You're married to an OC. He'll take the ass chewings from Saban. He'll take all the meat grind you get because I don't think anybody else is giving him a job.
You might be right.
But Clemson doesn't have those things. So I think they can lose guys, but they won't lose guys the way Bama loses guys.
So back to Jeff Scott taking the job at USF.
Think he'll do good?
I think he'll do fine. South Florida, I mean, they need to upgrade. They need to put a bigger commitment to football forward before you will see them be able to do anything like UCF has done.
Oh, I totally agree with that. UCF has put some cheese into football.
Yes, and USF wants to be on that level, but they don't have an on-campus stadium. They play in Raymond James Stadium, the Bucks stadium.
You can't be a big shot. You can't want to be a big shot if you don't want to do the things big shots do.
Exactly. And that's what I'm curious about.
I don't know that the on-campus stadium thing matters so much. But you got
it matters a little bit because it's a money thing. Like the money, they have to split that money with the city. Well, it's true. The same thing that Memphis has at the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you don't get all of the revenue from
that's right, but that. You also don't have the billions of dollars it costs to build that thing either.
Agreed. But at UCF found a way to raise that money. And other schools have found a way to, like, it doesn't have to be a massive thing. Like, group of five schools are not going to draw more than 40,000, 45,000 anyway.
You're right. You're not building
that UCF stadium. That UCF stadium only seats 45,000 anyway. That's right.
You're not building these big SEC mega palaces.
If UCF had wanted to save money, they could have easily played in the Citrus Bowl. You know, that's not that far away from campus. It is what it is. But they realized, okay, this is going to cost us money up front, but it's going to make us money on the back end. If we put everything we got into this program, we'll be able to do big things, and they have. So they've done good things. I think USF, like, they got to build for, like, they got to upgrade their facilities.
I think you got to upgrade all those things before you build stadium.
I agree with that.
I think that's the last thing you need if you're trying to do facilities and that types of stuff. You got to make the practice squad. You got to make the locker rooms. You got to do what you can to recruit. Where you actually play the games on Saturday is so much smaller of a part of everything. As long as you've got a good tailgate, you build a good home crowd environment, none of the rest of it matters. It just doesn't.
Yeah. You can't build a new stadium with a 3-9 football team and expect people to show up.
Nope. You're exactly right. I'm curious. I want him to do good because I like the American. I want the American to be a good conference. And
and it's better when South Florida's good. It's better when the teams that are supposed to be good are good.
That's right.
So, and then finally, last note here, Dave Aranda. So, in the time that we started recording this evening, we're recording on Tuesday night. In the time that we started recording to the time that we are finishing up, this is our last little bit of the evening. Dave Aranda was expected to take the UNLV job. There was an AP report that he had been offered it, and it was just a matter of signing the papers. And then just a little bit ago, report comes out, Dave Aranda will not be the new head coach at UNLV. Again, it seemed to make sense because he wanted to be a head coach. He was going to have to take a pay cut for it anyway, but we've seen a lot of coaches do that over the years. Gus Malzahn did it and went to Arkansas State and turned it into the head coaching job at Auburn. Who else? Lane Kiffin just did it. You know, was making $1.8 million as an offense coordinator at Alabama, went to Florida Atlantic for $1 million, et cetera, et cetera. Coaches have done this because you have to go back and prove that you can be a head coach before some of these bigger jobs will hire you. I don't know what happened. Like, this was insane. Reports came out that he was never offered the job.
Yeah. The new report is there was never an offer.
And that it's going to be Marcus Arroyo. From
that's who they're targeting.
So
I don't know. That's who it's going to be. That's who they are targeting.
Yeah, that's the name right now. Like that was the name before, and now it's the name again. And for about 8 hours there, it was Dave Aranda, and it was going to be Dave Aranda. And
I'm really happy it's not.
Yeah,
I'm good.
So and not that he was going to leave before the playoff run was over anyway, but
I just don't like it.
Strange, very strange.
Let's keep the family together.
You got a nice that
little
right.
Family going on.
It won't be long before, you know, if LSU keeps this going over the next couple of years.
I know we're going to lose guys.
Yeah,
it's part of winning. You're gonna lose people to the staff.
So you got it. It'll be interesting to see. So I think that's. Is there anything else?
Do we talk Norvell at all?
Do we need to? I mean, he took Kenny Dillingham, Auburn offensive coordinator, who was his offensive coordinator last year. Rumor is he's going to take Adam Fuller, who is his defense coordinator at Memphis, was the defensive coordinator at Marshall.
I think he's done a really good job, too.
If Ryan Silverfield does not get the Memphis head coaching job, all reports are that he will join Norvell as the offensive line coach in Tallahassee. I will tell you this. Norvell will build a staff that can recruit. Like, that will happen.
I saw Norvell's face at the end of the American Championship game. Standing right there, as soon as again, he just shook the other coach's hands, puts his hands on his head, and he kind of looks around. And I'm telling you, I looked in that man's eyes, I saw into his soul. Right now, he is in Tallahassee today. Right now, he regrets it. If he could undo it, if he could snap his fingers and go back and not take this job, he would do it in a heartbeat.
I don't agree. I think he may regret it eventually.
I think he regrets it right now.
I don't know, man.
He said it 100 times over and over again at Memphis. The grass isn't always greener. And I think he left a place that he had built up so much goodwill. And now he's gone to a place where it's just going to be a pressure cooker.
Oh, it's definitely going to be that.
And I'm not saying he's afraid of that, but
at some point, you got to take that leap. Like, if your ultimate goal is to win a national championship,
okay,
then you have to go to this job because it is one of about 15 places that can win a title.
Okay.
Like, that's it. Like, there's not a lot of places that can actually win a national championship. And I think he's at one of them. Like, there's three in the ACC, and it may only be two now. But it's Florida State and Clemson. In the SEC, you got five. In the Pac-12, you got one. In the Big Ten, you got...
So, in the SEC, the right guy, Tennessee can't win.
I don't think so anymore. I think he can win an SEC East. He might even win the SEC.
If you win those, you can win it all.
When's the last time Tennessee won the SEC championship?
We're not having that conversation.
When was the last
time they've had the coach to do it?
It's been a long time.
Okay.
You're
saying they can't, though. You're saying they absolutely cannot.
I think that the landscape has changed so much that they can't. We just
started a whole different conversation.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Taking shots everywhere.
But we'll take a few minutes here. That's fine. We can talk about this. No, I don't think Tennessee can win. I think the recruiting landscape has changed so much.
We disagree.
I understand they got a lot of money.
We disagree so much on this.
But I don't buy it.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think they've gotten the guy. Now, I don't think they're close to the guy. But
I also think that they've kind of got the same problem that Texas has got.
But you can solve that problem. You're saying they can't win.
I'm saying they can't solve that problem. I'm saying Texas can't solve that problem. I don't think Texas can win a national championship right now.
Wow. I hate on Texas a lot, but I think they absolutely can win a national championship. I'm not saying they will as they're currently constituted, but I'm just saying that's a place that if you're a big boy head coach, you take that job, you absolutely can win a championship.
You got to get the boosters out.
Okay, but that's not impossible to do.
I mean, you might be right. Okay. I'm
not good at coaching. I'll tell you this. If I got a job like that, I'd feel very comfortable telling the boosters. Leave the checkbook. Hit the door.
Yeah. Hit the bricks.
I'd be real nice about it. Leave the check.
All right. Big 12 teams that could actually win the national championship. Texas and Oklahoma? Like in today's age?
No. No, I absolutely think TCU can win. I absolutely think Baylor can win. Matt Rhule this time next year, if he does what he does this year, but he wins the championship game.
So you think
he's getting in because now he's done it 2 years in a row, and everybody in the committee is going to put his ass in there. And if they continue to build and they're that much better and that much more experienced, you win 2 games, you've won the title.
So just broad, generalized numbers, how many teams do you think in the NCAA can actually win a national championship right now?
30.
30?
I'd take your number and double it easily. But I think the right guy's got to do it. If Nick Saban said, I'm a mercenary and I'm tired of all these gumps, I'll take anybody who'll pay me. Highest bidder gets me. You don't think 3 years at Oregon he can win a national championship? You don't think 4 years at Tennessee Saban can't win a national title? You don't think 2 or 3 years at Texas he can't win a national title? Or at Baylor?
I think it's really difficult.
I'm not saying it's not, but hey, guess what? It's difficult now. He just had the best quarterback he's ever had in the history of Alabama, and he didn't win.
Yeah.
It took somebody not as good as that guy to come in and save his ass a couple years ago. No, that's not right. It took this kid to come in and win
the game. It took that kid to come in and win it.
One half of football. Yeah. But the 2 years that kid had control of the roster and control of the team, couldn't win it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I think it's really hard to win it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
that doesn't mean that other places can't win it. That's just a ridiculous statement.
I don't think it's ridiculous.
I mean, just because they don't win, it doesn't mean they can't.
That right there goes
to the philosophy that I disagree with so much with you, and why I hate this sport. As much as I love it, I have this love-hate relationship with it. It's, there's only so many people that are invited to the party.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you go undefeated. And it doesn't matter if you're at Tennessee, you go undefeated, you win the East, you win the SEC, tough shit. You still can't win.
I'm not saying that they can't. Like, if they win all the games on their schedule, yes, 100%. But I just don't think they will do that. I don't think for the next 30 years, Tennessee will win a national championship.
I'm not saying they will, because I don't know if they got the right guy yet. But if they, once again, if Saban just said,
there's a lot more that goes into it than just like here. A guy. Typically,
I get it, but you don't think that guy, you don't think Saban and Dabo and these guys know what it takes to do it, and they won't bring those philosophies and those things with them. They don't leave everything behind.
But how many?
He's going to take that.
How many of those guys
trainer,
are there?
He's going to take that workout guru that shoots everybody with steroids. He's coming with him.
How many guys are there? Saban's not going anywhere. And Dabo's not going anywhere.
Both those. So one day Saban's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to leave.
That's right. He's just going to retire.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't think that's a long way away. So that means that changes the landscape of all the SEC.
So at that point, like, we just saw Urban Meyer leave Ohio State. And now Ryan Day has got Ohio State.
Yeah, but Ryan Day's just different. I think Ryan Day's a really good coach, and I kind of think he was running more of that program than we thought.
I mean, he's only been there for a couple of years.
But I understand that. But he was the guy they trusted to be the head coach when Urban was suspended. This was an obvious ease on in situation.
Yeah.
That's a different situation than most. If they didn't have a Ryan Day situation, Ryan Day goes 2-2 in those games. While Urban is suspended, and Urban decides to fly the coop and walk away.
Yeah.
They don't give the job to Ryan Day, and we don't know what happens at Ohio State.
Now
a million things could go wrong.
You're right. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
Right. That's right.
Like, if the offense isn't all that good, then they don't give him the job. Like it.
Or some booster says, I don't trust this kid with the job.
Yeah.
I want an experienced head coach. And so now Lincoln Riley, free agent, he goes and takes a job somewhere else. What if he was the Tennessee coach? Because that happened. Tennessee's looking for a coach that very year. And they're like, hey, we'll give you the job. We're a trash fire. And then they just caught the next hot thing. You don't think that could win the national championship? Now, he hasn't won it at Oklahoma, but it doesn't mean he can't.
No, I think he absolutely could win. Oklahoma's one of those teams that I think could win it.
But I'm saying, but if he was somewhere else, I think
Riley everything, is more of it than, the environment than. Around the program has to be great for it to work. That's why Texas isn't winning right now. That's why Florida State isn't winning right now. Like, I don't know that Norvell can win a national championship.
I agree with
I think
the
that
Florida
that is a place.
Problem. And I've said that. I've been on record of that.
Yeah.
At Texas, man, there's a part of me that's starting to believe it's not the boosters, it's not the environment. I just think it's too big of a job for Herman.
Did you not think it was too big of a job for Charlie Strong?
Well, I didn't at the time. And today, I realize I was wrong about that.
So, I mean, who would it not be too big of a job for?
Well, I don't
maybe
know.
Matt Rhule, I guess. Like,
but these guys have won at lower levels, but they've never won it
at big levels.
At big levels,
yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's yes, it would. Have
I don't
to take
think
the right
finding
guy.
A great coach is easy.
This is a very interesting philosophical conversation.
I don't think finding a great coach and building a great program is easy. Me and you have gone back and forth on Twitter a lot in having this conversation. We had a little bit with TJ while we were recording his show. God, man, we're going forever. That's fine. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's late, and if you're still listening, great.
We
and
appreciate
if,
you.
And if you're not, then, you know.
You're
enjoy,
missing out.
Enjoy your evening. But I just think a lot of these administrations are really bad at this. I think they're all really bad at it. If I could get myself any job in the world, it really would to work in the athletic department of one of these major schools. I think I'd be good at it because I'm good at managing people. I'm good at managing egos like a champ, and I can handle budgets.
Yeah.
And I'm also pretty damn good at negotiating. I think all these guys are bad at all of those things.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I would have a relationship with my coach where he understands we're happy and you're safe. These are our expectations. You're meeting these expectations. You're not going anywhere. But at the end of every season, I'm going to call every agent I know, and I'm going to get a list of people that might be interested in this job. Not trying to replace you. But if you fly the coop, I can't be caught with my pants down. I can't have to hire a search firm. Why hire a search firm? I can just do this. They hire search firms because they're really bad at it, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the search firm comes back with one name. Yeah, that didn't help anybody. No. You got to have a plan. And I would have a plan every year. I would know who's at least interested in this job and who's not. And just hope Bill Belichick doesn't ever call me one day and say, hey, I'm interested. It's the only way you're not getting fired.
Yeah.
Bill calls, you get fired.
That's the way it goes. That's
just a me thing. And you'll be honest about it. Like, me and you will have that relationship where you know that. When there's a couple of national championships, I'll tell Bill, you want to come just work for me? Hire two head coaches.
Yeah, we'll have a duel.
We'll figure something else out. But I just think these front offices are, I call them front offices, these athletic departments, I think they're really bad at all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I appreciate the fact that Lane had an honest conversation about, I'm going to do analytics and I'm going to do things that your other football coaches don't. If you don't like that, you're not going to be happy with me. We don't need to have this relationship. And I appreciate that. I would want to have the relationship with my coaches where I wouldn't meddle in how they do things, but I would have an expectation of, hey, you're not going for it on fourth down, and we're missing a lot of field goals, and we're giving up a lot of field position. All the analytics say you should start doing that. Can you at least give me a reason why?
Yeah.
And I, because they would understand that my expectations are that you're always evolving everything.
Yeah. Like, I always evolve with the data.
Yes.
Makes sense.
And then with finding and building staffs, you got to let your head coaches build the staffs. Yeah. I would make sure the board of trustees, wherever I was at, understood you've hired me to do a job.
Yeah.
You can't do my job and then expect me to be responsible for the outcome of this job.
Agreed.
You have to give it to me. And if I screw it up, then you can hold me fully responsible.
Yeah.
But I will be responsible for the outcome of this, not you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I just think they're bad at it. I think it's hard conversations. It makes people uncomfortable to have.
No, I think you're 100% right. You are 100% right.
And I absolutely think there's many, many, many schools that could win right now.
We will disagree on that, and that is okay. That's the wonderful thing about college football.
Was Washington one of those schools?
No.
They made the playoffs a couple of years ago. They got blew out, but they won. They win two games. They're in. They're hoisting it.
There was no way they were going to win two games against those teams. Like, that was never going to happen. They could win the Pac-12. They lost to the best team that they played to get there, USC. But I don't buy it. Call me crazy.
Okay.
So the way that the landscape is right now, there are very few teams that can win it the way that college football is currently constructed.
I do think it takes a massive, massive budget because we know how recruiting works.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not waterfalls and facilities.
No.
I promise.
No. It's not that. Don't get me wrong. Like, you gotta spend some of the money on other stuff.
You need a big pharmaceutical department.
You think LSU got a big pharmaceutical department?
I bet that's a lot better today than it was before.
All right. Go over to winningcureseverything.com. All of our picks, previews, podcasts, videos, social media platforms, etc. are over there. You can find anything about us over at winningcureseverything.com. Go to smackapparel.com. Use promo code WIN. That's WIN. You get 20% off your order. And it doesn't matter how big that order is. And if it's over $40, it's going to ship for free. So smackapparel.com, use promo code WIN, W-I-N. You get 20% off your order. And go check out Tunica. Tunica, Mississippi is the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got 6 incredible sports books, awesome steakhouses, awesome concerts, awesome golf courses, awesome everything. TunicaTravel.com is the website for more information. Go do yourself a favor and check it out. Go visit Tunica. We have been there many, many times. It is fantastic. I think that is going to wrap it up for College Football Talk for the week. We appreciate you guys being here. We're looking forward to the Heisman. We are looking forward to the Army-Navy game. We will knock out our bowl stuff and have it up next week at some point. The first bowl game is Friday, December 20th. It'll be up several days before that. We'll figure all of the scheduling out as far as that goes. But, yeah, we are looking forward to all of this. Hopefully you will stick around with us. We'll see you all again next time.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELDWEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELDWEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.